art, comedy, pop culture, and much more. You're listening to ACPN.
Let's go to the bar. Welcome to the Romance Bar. Good evening, Gata.
Good evening, Colleen.
And welcome to another edition of the Romance Bar. I don't know why I say edition, because it's not, I mean, I know it's edition of the podcast, but I'm like, does it really fit in, Gata? I don't know.
I think it's fine. A new episode, a new edition, yes. A new era.
Yes.
A new,
edition. Yeah.
A new pod. A new day, a new week. It's a new thing. A new installment. It's a new thing.
Well, you know what? Because, okay, so the book we picked for tonight's episode, I read two different books back to back. And that was funnier in my head. But one of them takes place in a bar.
I just got it.
Thank you. One of them takes place in a bar, and I was just like, huh, you know, I feel like, because we call ourselves the Romance Bar, should I make more of a bar theme as far as, like, our introduction goes? Because I know we've talked, like, here's a little behind the scenes. I mean, we've discussed, like, of how to improve upon the greatness that is our podcast. Here I am making ourselves, you know, sound amazing and wonderful. But just, like, how to retool, rework things. I'm like, should it be more bar themed as I talk? And then I was like, I don't know, is it going too far? And then I'm like, no, it's not. As I drink my coffee out of my pink coffee cup. How about you, Gata?
I am drinking water today and painting my nails sparkly silver.
Oh.
Because we are sparkly, Romance Bar.
Oh, yes. Now, would it be the Cruella colors?
You know what? They're not the Cruella. I should have done that. See, now I'm rethinking everything.
I saw that at Target, and I was like, oh, that's like, it was like too sparkly for me. Because I'm like, okay, all right. Not that anything's too sparkly, but I was just like, I do too many chores around the house that I'm like, this is going to get ruined real fast, and I'm going to get annoyed. For me.
You know, I work with my hands, right? Like, I'm more of a physical job. So by the end of tomorrow, these will be ruined. And I do it anyway because I just, you know, I need to do something to remind myself that I am a lady.
Man, woman, if you want to do your nails, go right ahead.
Well, I am a lady in the sense that, you know, actually, I have a lot of people that I work with, they do their nails, and I love their nails, too. And when I say that, they don't take offense, and I hope no one takes offense when I say to remind themselves that I am a lady, but that's just a thing we used to say that we're trying to correct as we go along.
I think Jamila Jamil said it the best. She's like, we're works in progress. Like, and I think we said it last week that with us, you know, the pronouns and everything, we're slowly learning different verbiage every day. It's changing. So we're trying to adjust as best we can. And, if we ever misspeak, we are willing to take okay, that's what we know at the current time that we're recording. And for future, we will be more mindful of whatever the new verbiage is. But yes, whoever paints their nails, please, if you have the Cruella colors, add us on Twitter or on Instagram. Please show us pictures. I would like to know how it looks. Speaking of men doing their nails, so I was a huge, wait, was, I still am a huge Backstreet Boys fan.
Oh yeah, definitely. What?
AJ McLean has his own nail polish line. I was like, oh.
AJ was always the cool one, so I don't know.
But I'm like, he has his own nail polish line? Because he said that's what he goes, that's his daughter-dad bonding time. Because he's like, they don't like to play golf. They could care less about sports. But what do they like to do? They get their nails done. So he's like, that's what I go do. I go get my nails done with them. And I'm like, that is the most amazing dad response I've ever heard in my entire life.
I mean, I didn't love doing my nails. It's a new thing for me. But to me, it's soothing. And I think as a person who likes, as an artistic person, which I do consider myself that, I do like the arts. I find certain colors very, they like soul speaking. Mm. Like if I, like today I'm doing my nails very glittery silver. And it's not because I'm in a great silvery, griddly mood, but whenever I look at them, I will feel light. And that's what I want to feel. So sometimes I paint my nail how I want to feel. And not how I feel, like how I want to feel, which it makes me, you know, it just makes me happy.
Well, I did just buy a new nail polish color yesterday because that's where I saw the Cruella colors. But I bought a color. It's called Just Peachy.
Ooh, Just Peachy, yeah.
Because I was just like, oh, I need to. So I went to a friend of ours, a friend of the pod, who she loves nail polish. And so I was like, I need you to tell me not to buy nail polish. And she goes, you're asking the wrong person to talk you out of buying nail polish. And I was like, no, actually, you're the right person. Because I'm like, I kind of really do want to buy nail polish, but I want to like rein it in. And so she's like, well, don't buy a color that you already have something similar to. And I was like, okay, that's a fair, you know, gauge.
Yeah.
What, you know, like when you're going to go buy something, just don't buy a duplicate of it. So I was like, oh, you know what? I need a new, like a nail, like one that's going to look nice on my toes and my fingers. So, because I've just been painting, I've been giving myself pedicures because I was like, oh, that's going to last a little while longer than on my hands. So I was like, oh, this can go nice both ways, you know, since it is sandal season, or sandal season is approaching. So I was like, yeah, this will be good. I'll let you know when I actually paint my, toenails that I've never painted my nails while doing the pod. I've knit and cooked while recording this podcast, but painting my nails has not happened. Maybe next week with next book, but, I think I created a new scale for our podcast while listening to tonight's book. Two, actually.
Okay.
How much does Gotta hate me? And how much did Gotta skip of the book? And we are beyond not safe for work. You need your headphones no matter where you are. Like, put the headphones on at all times. Well, listening to the audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
Just that was my because I had the windows open and was listening to tonight's book, and I was like, that's a bad idea on all the levels. And it made me think back what you said about on last week's episode, Gata, where you're like, oh, there wasn't enough, and I feel this book compensated and then some.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So I regret what I said about last week's book in the sense that I said, you know, there wasn't
enough. It was missing things. Right. It was missing things.
Well, no, I shouldn't say I regret. I do regret it, but I don't. Last week's books did miss, like, was missing a lot of things. It was missing a little bit more. I needed more content. I needed more. I just needed a little bit of more of everything for me to love it.
Right.
Completely the way everyone seems to love it.
Right.
Casey's first book, so I'm hopeful that people don't take my words as too judgy, because that's not what we want to do here. But this week's book.
Now, before we continue into this week's book, I don't need to cut you off.
Cut me off. It's okay.
Because I want to save it for our actual talk of tonight's book. But
it's all right. I'm brewing.
Last week's book, it made me think of, okay, did you remember the movie Love, Simon that came out?
I do remember. I didn't watch it.
Okay. It made me think of a discussion that I heard on NPR Dave Holmes, he used to do MTV News back when, like, you know, MTV used to have music videos. Way back when. I know for any millennials listening, they're like, wait, MTV actually showed music videos? Yes, they did, way back when. Glenn Weldon, they are both openly gay, and they were discussing the movie Love, Simon, and how that book, well, because it was a book and then it was a movie based on a book, that it wasn't gay enough. However, like, that was like Glenn Weldon's take, and if I'm remembering this correctly, I'm sorry. But Dave Holmes went to go see it with his mother, and his mother had a very different reaction to watching the movie, to like what happens to the gay teen in the movie, because she's like, oh my God, is this kind of what you went through? Because he grew up in, like, you know, where the movie was like similar to where Love, Simon was taking place. And she identified very differently with it than, let's say, like somebody who grows up here in New York, where like it's an accept, you know, like we're a little more accepting of things. So it made me think of the reception of Red, White, and Royal Blue, of like, is it more palatable for those who are not openly accepting of that? Like, it's good because it resonates with everybody. Like, it's palatable for everybody, not just like those of us who are very accepting and understanding of the gay lifestyle. So it was just like something that made me think a whole lot more, but it was after we had already had our discussion. And I was like, dang it, I think of great content when we're not recording, Gata.
Oh, okay.
That was sort of my thing. So I was like, maybe that's why it resonated with a lot more people. I don't know. Because it wasn't as aggressive as tonight's book.
I mean, listen, I think, I want to say again, it wasn't geared towards adults.
No.
It was geared towards the kids who are trying to find themselves and understand themselves and, you know, see who they are. Because again, Alex, I had this conversation with Kim actually last week, and because I told her how I feel, she was not very happy with me. I understand why people like it. I understand why it wasn't geared towards adults. It was more geared toward, I want to feel like people who are starting to understand who they are and trying to figure out who they are. Mm. I did have this conversation last week with Kim. She was not happy of my comments on the book. But what she did say, and it resonated with me, is that Alex and Henry,
yes,
their station in life, being who they are, one being a prince of England, one being the son of a president, that is a little bit a position of power.
Mm.
And it makes it okay for other people to look up to them and be like, if this person is gay or bisexual or whatever it is they are, then I can be that, and that should be okay. So I think, again, Alex's journey and Henry's journey in regards to their own personal journeys towards to finding who they are as a person, as a people, is not what I didn't find lacking. What I found lacking was their relationship together as a couple. Mm. I wanted more.
Yes.
And there were other things that I spoke about, but mainly I needed a little bit more, and I didn't see that. It didn't satisfy my romance heart, I guess.
I think, again, I know we discussed it on last week's episode, and I apologize if this sounds like rehashing of it, but I think our main problem, my main problem was after the fact, and I think I said because it really, the one-sided nature of it kind of made it fall flat for me. Because there were points of, especially because it seemed like Henry was going, not to say Alex wasn't going through it, but I feel like Henry was going through a lot more of, like, a lot more turmoil then, and it, so it, that's where it felt like that, that the romance fell flat. Like I wanted Henry's point of view. And I think that's, that was really the crux of the problem for me. And it has nothing to do with them being in the positions of power. Like I understand that part of it. Like they're both in these prominent places and people can identify, and that helps in a lot, but it's mm-hmm. just like there needed to be more. And I think what we said of like, oh, it was the typical, he was the stuffy British dude kind of a thing. And that was just like, okay, I think that was also the problem. You know, like it was like that typical stuffy British dude. And you're like, that's not him though, but that's the way it was coming across off at first. Kind of.
Yeah.
Thing.
I mean,
but
yeah.
I think we said it's a decent gateway if no one's ever read a male-male romance. I don't think that was a bad place to start. Tonight's book, however, is not a good place to start if you are not at all into reading male-male romances.
No, it's not.
Never. Okay, so again, more behind the scenes of never did I not regret, but I should have. Well, I'll explain after my lovely husband and the man who's going to be doing a lot of editing soon. Love of my life.
Edit,
John.
Edit.
The edit man.
Let's edit to the bar.
He's the one that cleans everything up, makes it sound nice. Even though we have our own little goofs every now and then.
It happens, though.
We'll blame it on the low blood sugar on occasion.
Yeah, right. No, it just really happens.
Yes.
So what's up?
So you have an easy title, maybe?
Yeah, it is an easier title.
You say that now.
I do say that now. I mean, it's no Ice Planet Barbarians.
That was an interesting
one. It's not.
No. But it is from the same author who brought us Wanderlust.
Oh, so maybe I'll get a second time. You don't know.
Yes. And it's called One Time Only.
Oh, wow.
So I'm thinking it involves a one-night stand.
Okay.
Yep.
Absolutely. That's it.
There you go.
You got it right.
This author really makes it easy to understand what that book is about.
Well, the other one that I read was called A Guy Walks Into My Bar.
Oh, today?
Yeah, sure.
Did he walk in and say, let's go to the bar?
You know, now the more that I read it, I was like, that would have been, see why that book would have been more perfect for tonight. But instead, I chose the newer one and went with One Time Only.
Well, I'm 2 for 2 with this author. I could tell you that much.
There you go. So, you know, Gata, that just means if we ever get my husband to actually read a book, it should be a Lauren Blakely book, because those are the ones that he seems to do so well with.
Thank you, Lauren Blakely.
Yeah, we could do Lauren for John. And maybe, John, you can invite your friends who are super jealous of us. So
they're not interested, I'm sure. They're probably messing with their bitcoins and their stocks and their games and stuff like that.
Well, his friend Trish would blush over tonight's book.
Oh, I don't think so. Trish is a different...
No. She'd blush, believe me. Trish and I have had these conversations.
You don't know Trish like I know Trish.
When she talked about her romance preferences, yes, she would definitely be blushing.
She likes Carl from Aqua Teen and not the guy who plays, but the character of Satan and Your Pretty Face Is Going to Hell.
Okay. Well, we'll discuss this off the pod.
So, yeah, sure.
We'll discuss this off the pod.
Fine. Bye.
Goodbye. Love you. He's going to have so much editing to do. I know. It's fine. It happens. So, yes. Yes, Gata, now, because I cut you off, you have the floor. On a scale of 1 to you hate my guts, how much do you hate my guts this week?
I don't hate your guts, but
I regret pulling the trigger.
Well, okay, listen. There's something missing in this book. It wasn't the SEX. There's plenty of that. It wasn't the hate. There was a lot of it, but there was something missing. And honestly, I had to skip a lot to get to the point because there was just rambling and rambling. And by me, rambling to me is not like non-important things. There were really important things in there, but I'm like, okay, there's something I need to get to in order for me to kind of like it a little bit more. Because I see the potential. I like the characters. I think this is great. This is awesome. What am I missing? So I reached the end of the book and I'm like, okay. I mean, I love the song. The song was great. But like, I was like, all right. Well, I guess that was it.
Okay. It wasn't. Okay. For me, I felt the same. I was like,
I didn't hate you.
Okay.
There was no hate towards you at all. There was no hate towards the book. There was no hate towards Lauren. I love Lauren. Or the characters, they were just meh to me. I regret saying this. I don't like saying this about books.
No, but I got it too. It was when I was listening. And so now, of course, I'm like, oh man. So Gata had started reading it before I did. And of course, I had the audiobook and Gata was reading the ebook. Because those are the only two ways, because I think you got it on your Nook, correct?
Yeah, I did get it on my Nook, yes.
So I have the Audible exclusive, and the reason why it's an Audible exclusive is because at the end of it, it has what they call like a fireside chat, which is an interview with the two voice actors who are narrating the book. So, of which I fully enjoy, and that is why I would recommend getting the audiobook, because of that enjoyable side, because it's like a little behind the scenes, which I always love. But God is like, okay, there was already like a sex scene that has occurred and I'm only on page 2, and I'm like, oh no, God is gonna hate me. because I'm listening to it and I'm like, okay. I was feeling that way too. I was like, okay, where's the actual story? I understand they're attracted to each other. They're fighting the attraction to each other. But I'm not seeing the attraction towards each other. And it wasn't until I listened to the book that actually is takes place before this book that I was like, uh-huh. I realized what this was missing. The buildup wasn't there. Like, it just, we automatically take a nosedive, and then the relationship gets focused on afterwards. Like, it takes a long time to analyze what is kind of going on in their relationship. And of course, they get a very happy ending because this is a romance novel. But I was just like, it wasn't. I like the buildup in the other book that I was listening to. I was like, this is more Goddess speed. And this is kind of more my speed, I feel. Because I was like, oh, you see the attraction, you see the build, even though it's in a short span of time, you're getting why they're together. So I'm going to recommend both books for this evening. The one that we just got, that Gata has not read, which is Guy Walks Into My Bar, because there's flirting over tea and scones, Gata. Flirting over tea and scones. The minute I heard that, I was like, oh my God, why did I not pick this book for Gata? I had never read either one of these. I just randomly picked this tonight's book, I'm going to confess. I just picked this book because I was like, oh, this one had just recently came out. I think I teased it in December that it was coming out. And yes, because I think we were still discussing J.R. Ward when this book came out initially.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like, oh, we're going to do this for June. But now, you only read it. You didn't listen to it, right, Gata?
Yeah, I read it. I didn't listen to it.
But I think, you know what else? I also feel like with Wonderlust, like if you're even comparing it to Wonderlust, like just based on her reading, you're just like, it doesn't have the same feel that her other books do. I think that was the problem, because I've read so many of her other books, and I was just like, it's missing that her usual... It was missing something that I couldn't put my finger on. So I was definitely feeling it too. But I kept laughing because Gata said, oh yeah, so it was missing from last week's book. Now Gata got it fully in this book.
Oh, I got a lot of it. Whatever was missing in that book, it got here in this book.
And then some.
And then some. No, I really needed... Okay, so the other part of this, why maybe I didn't like it as much, is that I'm on book 4 of Terran Soul, and I stopped myself
from Soul reading.
Listen, from reading, because I was like, I cannot read Terran Soul and read other books. It's not going to be the same. It's going to ruin everything.
Right.
Terran Soul is a different level of writing, of emotion, sensation, everything. Right. Like, that book is like, oh God, the best. Right. You have to read it to know.
I know. Okay, I have.
So I didn't read it. So I didn't read book 3, book 4, or book 5 yet. I'm waiting for us to have a break or something so I can do it.
You're cute and funny, Gata.
Thank you. Thank you. I know. But even with me not reading the books, still, there was something missing in there. Okay. I just need a book with a more of an emotional journey.
Okay, so I'm, like I said, I think I'm going to go for 2 on this. So now, let's actually break down tonight's book. So One Time Only, the premise of the story is, I know we had discussed it in our trope episode, but this one deals more with a celebrity as opposed to a billionaire. And billionaire is a common one, and I know we've discussed that. We discussed it on King of Wall Street. Celebrity is usually one I don't gear towards, because I'm like, usually the way some authors write the celebrities, I'm not automatically fond of. And I've tried it with a couple of different authors, and I'm just like, I don't know what it is, whether it's a movie star. I think You Had Me at Ola was like the first book that I actually really enjoyed a celebrity. But it was also, they were both celebrities. So it was different, I guess. But then again, that was just a great book in general. But this, so his bodyguard is attracted to him. They're both attracted to each other, and they're in Vegas, so they kind of do the, well, whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And holy crap, I'm just, because I just finished the other book that I'm like, no, that's the wrong book characters.
They do it. Yeah, they do that in Vegas. Yes.
Yes. No, I'm saying the characters' names. So.
Oh, it's Stone
Stone is the rock star.
Yeah.
And Jackson is
the bodyguard. Guard.
And now, of course, when you hear the bodyguard, automatically, for those of us that, you know, are of a certain age again, think of the Whitney Houston, Kevin Costner film.
I wish it had that emotion. Sorry, did I say that out loud? I wish it did.
See, that's the thing. There was so, and that question keeps playing in the back of my mind, and then it's not until, like, at the make or break moment of a romance novel, of like, oh, when the character's going to be like, oh, no, we're going to have, he's like, oh, yeah, he's all gung-ho for the happy ending, and then there's the thing that throws off the happy ending for just a couple of chapters, because, you know, you need to, because you're like, oh, there's still, like, a chunk left, so something has to derail the happy ending just a tiny bit. So Jackson is helping somebody else train to be a bodyguard, and goes, oh yeah, I got asked the Whitney Houston question. He goes, the Whitney Houston question? They're like, oh yeah, like what do you do if you ever fall in love with the person you're protecting? And like that, of course, throws Jackson completely off, and he's like, oh no, I can't be with Stone because I'm breaking the bodyguard code or something like that, like his own code, and like, so therefore they can't have a happy ending. And I'm like, really? But it's just, I think that I've said, because again, only just comparing it to Wanderlust, there was like so much buildup, and like, even though you knew they weren't going to be together,
mm-hmm.
even though they still got together physically, you knew they were going to make the most of the situation, whereas like they got together physically, but then you're like, but why were they attracted to each other? Like, I needed that, or like even like with a one night stand, like I've read the one night stands and like it correcting itself, and I was just like, there's like a whole, like it needs to be sparsed out. I think that was the problem. Yeah. I think, and at when I got to the end, I was like, you know what? I feel if we mix a little bit of red, white, and royal blue, like the chemistry that was going on there, and some of the sex scenes that were in here, we would have had a great book.
Yeah.
I think that's where it was. And that's why I ended up reading A Guy Walks Into My Bar. And then, therefore, it was the best of both worlds. Because it's a British bartender and an American hockey player. And it worked.
And it like, worked. Nice.
I was like, oh, this is delightful on so many levels. And the bartender is biracial.
And I was like, ooh, I like that.
Right, because the sister says, oh, yes, just imagine if Idris Elba and Chris Hemsworth had a baby. And I went, I'm sorry, what? Repeat that again. Say that again, please.
I know, Idris Elba and
Chris Hemsworth having a baby.
Wow.
I was like, that's a mental image. That is a mental image to clearly continue reading a book.
Yeah.
And I may have laughed a little too hard because the main guy in that book, his last name is Fitzgerald.
Oh, well, hello, Miss Fitzgerald.
So,
Galbo.
So I may have gotten very hooked. So I would say, if you just want really well-written sex scenes, tonight's book is a high recommendation. Do not listen with windows open and no headphones on.
Yeah.
That's all, because I made that mistake just once, and I was like, oh, there's children playing outside. I should not be doing this. Oh, I need headphones even when I'm in the privacy of my own house, because I don't even want my husband to hear this. Because my husband's going to just give me that look of, what are you listening to? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But yes, I would recommend, like, the audiobook definitely added a different level for both books, and the reason why I like The Guy Walks Into My Bar, again, a little bit better was because it was more like a play. So there were a couple different actors. So it was the two main guys. So when they're having their conversation, it switches over. You know, like, so the British guy, his name is Dean. So when he's talking in Fitz's chapters, it's the narrator for Dean as opposed to the Dean, like, imitating Fritz's voice and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And then they have like other actors like playing the other, you know, like the other characters. So like Fitz has a sister, so there's like a female voice actor that comes in for that. So again, it was more like a play, so I was like, oh, this is really enjoyable. And then at the end of that, there was bloopers, and there was also another fireside chat, and they're like teasing each other, and I'm like, oh, this is wonderful. Like, this is like so behind the scenes. So I was just like, this is so perfectly formed that I need to talk about it, even though I'm like, but wait, we're talking about this book tonight. But I'm like, but this book, I have to discuss it. I have to discuss both. So here, you got a recommendation for, if you want more of a well-formed story, I would say the second book that I read right before the podcast. Like, I literally finished it before we started recording. I would say A Guy Walks Into My Bar. Also, Shane East has a very nice speaking voice in general, because he actually is British, so that helps, as opposed to faking a British accent.
Yeah.
When you and there is one guy who voices Stone is actually Irish, and I heard him talking, and I was like, wait, that's his real voice? Does he do book narrations in his real voice? Because I need to find them. Or I have some suggestions. God knows what those suggestions are. I won't ever say them on the podcast.
I'm not saying anything.
Yes. So yes, I feel if we mixed together tonight's book and last week's book, we would have a perfect book. Am I wrong? A little bit.
Wait, what?
I said if we mixed together tonight's book, the one time only.
Yeah, it would be a better book probably.
Because there would be a lot more depth.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, I think.
No, go ahead.
No, I just want to. I just. You know, we as readers, sometimes when we read books, we are disappointed sometimes with the outcome of the book, and that doesn't take away, and I just want to stress this out, doesn't take away from the talent that the writer had on those books. Because, for example, and this is not in on the same level, but for example, a lot of people love this author. Her name is Donna Tartt. She wrote The Goldfinch. The Goldfinch won huge awards. It won the, I want to say, the Nobel Peace Prize or
something,
like, something to do with literature when it came out. I tried to read it because I do like literature. Like, I don't read only romance. Right. And I couldn't read it. It was boring. It just wasn't, it was very snobbish. I don't know. I could not read it. And people were like, yeah, pretentious. And people were like, oh my God, this book opened my eye. I'm like, to what? Opened your eye to what exactly? I don't understand. To boring? Because that's what it was for me, right? But that's my view on it. That's one person's view.
Right.
And so not every book is for every person, right? Right. Not every book is for every taste. Not every book is for everybody. But like for another example, I read Tolstoy and I love Tolstoy. And that's even more pretentious, I guess, than Donna Tartt, because that's Tolstoy. So it's like it just depends on what speaks to you and what speaks to your soul, what speaks to you in that moment. And this book did not speak to both of us in a certain way today. But I, you know, it might speak to someone else, which would be wonderful. Again, books that are for LGBT and by LGBT and about LGBTQ should always be promoted because someone might find themselves in it. But we also should look for great stories and great writings and in books. It's great to be represented, but we want to be they should be represented well.
Well, I did enjoy, so at the very end of, at the end of this book, this is going to, they adopt a baby, but she makes a point to point out, she goes, well, the reason why I chose this country is because it's one of the few countries that allows same-sex couples to adopt a baby. And that, you know, like, that should be known to the world, like, that more people, like, it should be more of an option. Of, like, that, like, tiny little note, I was like, oh, okay, so I know she definitely put thought and, you know, research into, you know, aspects of this book. So I don't want to say, like, and we know I've read a lot of her books and I do love it, but it was just, this story wasn't working for me, but yet I went to another one and it worked wonderfully for me. And then there's another book that gets referenced in the second book that I read that I'm like, oh, I remember, I love that book. And that book actually won an award. But, so there is, like, she does do that little bit of, like, research there. Again, it just didn't fall the right way with us. And, hey, but yet it has, like, 4.5 stars on Goodreads. So it fell right with other readers. So I would say, I think more of, if, like, Gata last week, you were like, oh, well, this book was lacking in this area. Mm-hmm. Here, I feel this is a good antithesis for, like, this is the good opposite. But I think I agree with you. If you want more of a substance, perhaps next week's book might be more of the substance for what people are hoping for. Even though I haven't read next week's book yet, Gata. Have you read next week's book yet?
No, not yet. I've never read that before.
And I know this book has gotten a lot of wonderful feedback from everywhere. Like, everybody that I have said, or even when we were gearing up for, like, looking for books to read for this month, this, I think, was on the top of books to, like, this was definitely on the top of the list of, oh, you have to read this book if you think you're gonna cover this topic. So I was just like, so maybe that will fall differently. I know. I think the joy of the books, with the exception of the last book, we've never read any of these books that was the other half of it. So it's like we're discovering our own liking of, and I think we're basing it solely on the of like we're hoping that it achieves the goal that they wanted to achieve with it, I guess. Am I making sense?
Yeah, no, I get it, yeah.
But yes, I'm glad Gata doesn't hate me as a result of making her read this.
No, I don't hate you. I just, again, I would love to, you know, not to... I just want a book that will, you know, again, speak to my soul. And I know that's...
Maybe that's next week's book. You never know.
Yeah, who knows? It might be. And it's also, I think... Because I have read, and that's the thing I think people need to understand. I have read MM books that were more involved emotionally, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, they had their best moments. But, like, you know, but they were so involved emotionally that there was a lot of work on the emotions and the feelings. Mm-hmm. And there was, like, this tense and, you know, back and forth that make you, as a reader, invested in it. And that's what I want. I want a little bit more investment in the details.
Well, I think, and that was the other thing I think I said with both books that I had read, like, would it feel that it falls as flat if this were a heterosexual couple? Absolutely.
Yes, I would it would. It definitely. Would. It would even be worse.
Because we did read a book where it you know, didn't, you know, gel just as well.
Yeah,
like,
no.
It needed to have more story. So it's like, it's not, it has nothing to do with the fact that it's gay characters. It just, it's not, the story itself is not plausible.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought about it. I was like, it doesn't work that way. I would have stopped the book longer before.
There's only one book that I threw against the wall because I couldn't read it, and it was a book that won awards.
What's the book?
Atonement.
Oh, I could not read that book. Please.
And that won an award, too.
Listen, let me tell you something, guys. When critics say, oh my God, this is wonderful, or oh my God, this is awful, don't listen to the critics. Listen to what you...
Right.
Say, if you look at something or read something, you're like, I enjoy this, by all means, love it as much as you want to love it. Other people's opinion is great to have and consider, but it's not something that you take to heart, because there are movies, for example, that critics said they hated, it's awful, don't watch. And then I watch it, I'm like, oh my God, this is the best movie ever. And then it's like, why did I ever listen to so-and-so's opinion about this movie when they said this movie would be great or this book would be great and it's not great? Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't let people's judgments persuade you not to read or not to watch or not to go right. for what you think that you like.
Well, like we said, this book, if you look on Goodreads, has a lot of, you know, four and five star reviews, which, great, there are people out there that this really gelled for, and I'm happy for them. For me, it didn't, and when I jumped into the next book right after, I was like, now I know why this first one didn't gel with me. It's because of the buildup that of what was missing. Like, I couldn't put my finger on it, and then it's like, oh, when you go to this other one, and you're like, oh, okay, so it's, and they're both, like I said, they're both male-male romances, so it's like, it's a matter of how the story is set up, and has nothing to do. I'm like, there's definitely a lot more enjoyability. And it's just, it just didn't gel, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then again, you might not even take our opinions to heart. You'd be like, well, maybe I'm going to listen to this and prove them wrong. Go right ahead. Tell us why we are wrong. We have no problem with that.
Yeah.
I don't think, am I going to stop reading Lauren Blakely books because of this one book? Absolutely not. Because let's say I finished this book and I went right into another one. So that's really not going to stop me. But I would highly recommend, especially for the song, because he does sing the song in this book, I would highly recommend listening to it.
I really like the song. I read the song. I didn't listen to the song.
Well, I would especially stay tuned for the little, you know, interview that they do with each other at the end of the audiobook. Mm-hmm. I would highly recommend that. I would say, or if you two read this book and you're like, this left me falling flat, go to the other one, which takes place before this one, and you actually meet Jackson at the end of A Guy Walks Into My Bar. So it sets it up. So you can read them out of order. Mm-hmm. I do like it, though, like, when you read an author, like, even though it's, like, different stories, that they kind of end up circling around each other somehow. Like, how, not, like, in the J.R. Ward sense, but, like, they kind of take place in the same universe. Because, like, the bar that they go to, Speakeasy, that's, like, in all of her books. All of her other books. So I was like, oh, I do enjoy those. Like, I'm like, how she keeps track of all this stuff.
Yeah.
I do enjoy that little, you know, note. And I'm like, oh, I would like to go here. Oh, it only exists in the book. Like, those are little bits that, I think that's probably definitely a plus in the column, because I'm like, oh, yeah, there's this whole other world and all of these groups of friends. I'm like, I want to know these people.
Yeah.
There is that. And I have to say one thing, Gata, when you're reading this book where you're like, oh, they're talking about going to restaurants. And I was like, what is that like?
Oh, my God. Concerts, restaurants, people hugging.
Right.
Holding what hands. Like? What is that?
What is that like? I forgot. I know.
What is that? I mean, right now in the U.S. at least, a lot of places have taken down the mask mandate. Some places went as far as say you don't have to be 6 feet apart from people. A lot of people are vaccinated. There's a lot of people that don't want to be vaccinated, and that worries me. But also, the other part of it is that there are other parts of the world where they're just being hit with extreme cases. Ugh. And we're acting like it's been eradicated. And I just, like, there is no balance between the two. No. We kind of need to find a balance, because we do need to go back into work and go back into restaurants and out into the world. But we also need to understand that maybe some measures need to stay in place to protect everyone.
I still wear my mask.
I'm planning on wearing. I know I'm planning on keeping wearing my mask. I am fully vaccinated, but I am around people who have children who cannot be vaccinated. Right. I am around people who have parents that cannot be vaccinated. I have a friend whose mom can't take the vaccine. Medically, cannot do it. Like, it's not that she doesn't want to, but she can't. It's just to protect her, to protect other people. I haven't been sick this year. Like, knock on wood. Like, I haven't had a cold. I haven't had, you know, anything. Like, I had, like, allergies, which is normal.
Oh, but allergies. That was another.
Nothing. So, I just want to say this is real important, is that if you plan on wearing the mask, keep wearing it and wear it proudly, because you're doing it for someone else, and we totally get it.
Yes. But it's still interesting to listen to books that are taking place in a world where you're like,
I know. Hugging and holding hands and let's go to the coffee shop. I'm like, what is that? What is that?
So again, guy walks into my bar. There's a coffee shop in the book called Coffee O'Clock. And I'm like, why doesn't this place actually exist? I want to go there. But it would be in England. Oh, reasons for us to go to England. Gata, we just need to go. You know what?
We're going next year, ma'am. Prepare yourself.
Yes. And I have to say, Gata, and I will say this here on the pod, because you and John forced me to watch The Office, the mask I get the most compliments on is my Dunder Mifflin mask. Of all the masks. And I said, and the irony is, I bought it at Staples.
Oh.
Non-spawn. But still, the mask I get the most compliments on when I go to stores, grocery shopping, and things. Everyone's like, oh my God, I love your mask. And I was like, thank you.
Yeah. So
that's all Gata and my husband's fault.
Oh, wow.
But But so yet next week we are taking a break from the male-male romances.
Mm-hmm.
For the, should we call, is it female-female or should we call it lady-lady? Because the time place, the time frame that it takes place. That's the only thing.
I would say it is a female-female, but it's also mm-hmm. a lady-lady, I think. I don't know. It's a historical. Let's say yes. that. Let's say yeah. that it's historical.
And again, I know this book was Kim. Kim is definitely the reason we are, I mean, that I knew of this book because I had never heard of the author. So
it's Olivia Wade? No, I have. You see, I think I've read something by her if I am, or maybe was it Kat Sebastian? It might have been Kat Sebastian. I take it back.
I think because Kat Sebastian and Olivia, they have similar cover art styles.
Yeah.
I think that's where it might come into play, like very similar cover art styles, and that's the two confused. But no, it's what is it? The Lady's Guide to Celestial Mechanics. Is that the
book? Yes.
So that is next week's book, and I know this book has been greatly hyped. Like I said, it's on every LGBTQ plus, you know, like if you're going to read a book for Pride, this should be one of the books you read for Pride recommendations. So I hope that it lives up to, now see, this is the thing. I get nervous myself when a book is so overly hyped that I'm like, I hope I like it. Like, and there are times where
I think maybe we should just not hype ourselves about it.
No.
Let's hope we like it. Let's just do that. Let's hope we like it.
Yes, let's hope that we, I think we will. And again, I think this might be my first full female-female book.
Mine too. I have read Non-Binary. Kat yes. Sebastian has one, but I never read that. So this is my first too. Yeah.
I know I've read a lot more male-male out there, and mm-hmm. I think Olivia has a whole she has a whole bunch of books, so yeah. And I still have the sequel to the Alyssa Cole book that I have yet to read.
So, oh yes.
So maybe in the time off, I will read. I will be a more full, well-rounded reader.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Guess what? We're gonna create that. But until next time, good night, Gata.
Good night, Colleen.
If you would like to follow us, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Romance Bar.
You could also email us at romancebar@acpnet.net.